and we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. Amen. That's Judges chapter 13 and verse number 2. Amen. And I might want to turn me down just a tad bit out there, guys, just a tad bit. Amen. But Judges 13, and once you get there, we'll read verses 2 through verse number 5, and then we'll definitely see what the master has for supper tonight. What's going to warm us up? Amen. Some good soup. Amen. Holy Ghost soup from the Word of God. All right, let's all stand. Judges chapter 13 and verse number 2. Now, the Bible says from the precious Word of God, and there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor, hallelujah, shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand, the power of the Philistines. And we'll stop here. We're going to talk tonight on this little thought. Remember, we're continuing our series on Samson, Victory and Defeat. And the message tonight will be titled this, A Miraculous Message from God. A miraculous message from God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would also, yes, sir, you'd also give each of us a message, God, from you tonight. I pray, God, to speak to us through the Word of God. I pray, God, that the Word of God would enlighten us and guide our path and give us direction on what to do and what not to do and how to go about doing it. And for that, God will shout, hallelujah. I pray, God, to stir our hearts. I pray, God, to draw us a little closer. I pray, God, to build our faith muscles. I pray, God, you'd be our shield and our buckler. I pray, God, that you'd be the sunshine in the dark places of our lives. And for that, God will shout, hallelujah. I pray, God, to bless each one that hears the message, those who are watching live streaming and those who will be watching later. Thank you, Lord, for those who sent me, Lord, messages today. Have a message to help them as they watch via the internet. I thank you, Lord, for that tool that you've given us. And I pray, God, tonight that once again, you'd move in a life-changing way. For that, God will shout, hallelujah. God, we love you much and we owe you everything. If I've left anything out, no matter how small or how great, I beg you in the name of your son, Jesus, to meet that great need as well. We love you. That's it for now. We'll talk soon. Of course, in your son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. A miraculous message from God. Those who saw on the internet, I had a letter on the internet, and the letter said message from God. And when you think about a letter, that's what these are right here in the Bible. We call them books, of course, but they're actually letters that were written. And here is a letter that's written to each of us. I believe we can use this letter here that will help us to get a message from God tonight. God, listen, God knows how to speak to each and every one of us that's here tonight. God knows how to speak to you. He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to get my attention. And I do pray that tonight God will get our attentions tonight. We'll be focused on what he has to say and then follow his instructions and receive the victory that God has for us. The first thing we see here is Manoah's wife. Manoah's wife. The Bible says, and there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, which is the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah, which means rest. And his wife was barren and bare not. Now, the first thing you're going to see about his wife, Manoah's wife, is that she's nameless. As you read through the scriptures, there's not one place where it tells us what her name is. Now, you think about that, that's interesting. We know, because this is going to be Samson's mama, we know who Samson's daddy was, but we don't know who his mama was. Now, you know, for a lot of us, if we were to bring something important into this life or into this world, more than likely, we want some recognition. I mean, at least say it was from me. I mean, at least name my name. But here's a woman, my friends, who God's going to work through a miracle that caused a child to be born, but yet we do not know her name. Do you know, my dear friends, it's not important if our name is known, if anybody knows who we are, as long as we get the job done that God would have for us to do. But sometimes we want our name on the marquee, we want our names in the light. But the main and important name that needs to be named is the name of Jesus Christ. For the Bible said that Jesus says, if I be lifted up. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say if you be lifted up, if your organization be lifted up, if your pastor be lifted up, if the members are lifted up. But he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. We must lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Not lift our names or exalt ourselves, but the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible shows us she was a nameless person, and she also was a childless person. The Bible says that there was a certain man of Zoar, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren. She was sterile. She could not have children. And the Bible says that she bare not. It wasn't a matter that she didn't have kids. She could not have children. It wasn't a matter of, well, she was waiting for a certain time. No, she couldn't bear. The word here, barren, in this verse means she was sterile. She could not have children. This was Manoah's wife. But then secondly, we now shift to the messenger. If there's going to be a message from God, it's going to come through a messenger. The Bible tells us, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. And the Bible says and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. The Bible tells us that the messenger is the angel of the Lord. But the Bible says again, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord. The word angel means a messenger. A messenger. Now, a lot of times we hear the word angel, we automatically think angelic being. But even when you're reading the book of Revelation, it says to the angel of the church of Ephesus, to the angel of the church of Laodicea. What that means is the messenger. And in that verse, it means not only messenger, but also means pastor. So it could be a person. It all depends on the context by which, my friends, it is written. But here the Bible tells us that this messenger, that this particular angel, so to speak, was an angel or messenger of the Lord. But it wasn't any angel of the Lord. It was what the Bible says here? It was the angel of the Lord. So what you're talking about? What we're talking about, my dear friends, is that this is what we call a theophany. A theophany, my dear friends, is a manifestation or appearance of God to a person. This is what we believe to be a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. This is him in the Old Testament. It wasn't like Jesus never existed until the New Testament. The Bible tells us in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This was not an angel like Gabriel. It was not an angel, my dear friends, like some of the others, like Michael. This was Jesus Christ himself that was pre-incarnated in a body to be shown to a person here in the Word of God. There are 22 times where the word angel of the Lord is mentioned in the book of Judges. And it's in 16 verses. And here the Bible tells us the angel of the Lord. Matter of fact, you say, well, how are you sure that was God? If you drop down, my friends, and verse 21 and verse 22, the Bible says this. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And watch what he said. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die. Why? Why y'all going to die? Because we have seen who? God. And remember, going back with me over to Exodus, chapter number 33 and verse 20, the Bible tells us that if any person were to ask to see God himself, the Bible says they couldn't live. Look what the Bible says here in Exodus 33 and verse number 20. I want y'all to stay with me. Exodus 33 and verse number 20. The Bible says this in Exodus 33 and verse 20. And he said, and this is when Moses was warning but anyway, let's read. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and what? Live. And live. says, well, wait a minute. Well, how then that they see God and live? This was pre-incarnate Jesus. We can see Jesus and live in a body by which God has given him, of course. But when you're talking about all the glory of God, no man can see all the glory of God and live. We wouldn't be able to take it. Even Moses, when the Bible says here in verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, that thou shalt see my, what? My back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The Bible clearly teaches us, my dear friends, that over here, Manoah said, hey, we have surely seen God. Man, never mind, we're going to die. Of course, his wife tells him later on, because she had more sense than him, we ain't going to die, because she said in verse 23, the wife said to him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not receive the burnt offering and a meat offering in our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. Nobody would, as at this time, have told us such things as this. And the woman bare a son. She said, we ain't going to die. God, he came to us and talked to us. It was pre-incarnate. So how do you know it's pre-incarnate Jesus Christ? How do you know it was a theophany? Well, let me give you another verse. Look at me over to Exodus 23 and verse 20. Exodus 23 and look at verse number 20. I got to lay this foundation for us. But look at Exodus 23 and look at verse number 20. Exodus 23 and verse number 20. The Bible says this in Exodus 23 verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. He says, God talking to Israel. And to bring thee into the place which I prepare. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not. Why? For he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Can't nobody pardon sins but who? God. But nobody said, I'm sending an angel and follow these things right here. Because if not, he won't forgive you. But my name is in him. Let me show you something else to talk about that same thing. Go with me over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 5. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, and verse number 5. The word says over here, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 2, and verse number 5. Mark 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says this. Mark 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says in verse number 5, chapter 2 of Mark, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy what? Sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes, now remember the scribes knew the word. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Talking about Jesus. Who can forgive sins but who? But God only. Watch this. The Bible says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, hey, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Jesus has the power to forgive sins. Only God has the power to forgive sins. My dear friends, we see, my friends, that Jesus Christ, who is part of the Trinity, because he's God in the flesh. The Bible says I believe it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that God was manifest in, let's go look at it. I can quote it, but y'all need to go read it. Look over here at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says here, straight from the word of God, and verse 16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Watch it. God was manifest in the flesh. He was shown in the flesh. Watch this now. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Who are they talking about? Jesus, my dear friends. It was Jesus who was manifested in the flesh. That's why you got to be careful about the Bibles that you read. Because, my dear friends, and a lot of the Bibles, you know what they've done? They take the word God out. And it says this. It will say, he was manifested in the flesh. Now, why are you going to take out God and put he if you're going to make it simpler to read? Oh, there's something behind that, amen. Because if you just say that he was manifested in the flesh and so forth and so on, you're simply saying, well, yeah, that's Jesus. But when you say God was manifested in the flesh, now you're, my friends, you are now equating Jesus with being God. Every word that's in the Bible is so very important, amen. Now, watch this. Go with me on the same thought. Go with me to Luke chapter number 7 and verse 47. Luke 7 and verse number 47. Luke 7, verse number 47. Jesus Christ, my dear friends, had the power to forgive sins. The Bible says in Luke chapter 7, verse number 47, the Bible says this, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, Jesus says, which are many, are what?
Forgiven.
Forgiven. For she loves much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth what? Little. The Bible says, and he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, hey, thy faith have saved thee. Go in peace. Jesus Christ was God, my friends. What's in the Bible says over there in John chapter number 1, chapter 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. Then it says in verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let's go back over to our Judges. Amen. But we see the messenger that came to this woman. This messenger was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ being revealed in the Old Testament. And now we get to the heart of the matter. We see the message that was given. First thing we see, my friends, is her condition. The Bible says in Judges chapter number 13 and verse number 4, now therefore beware. No, back up, verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. You cannot have children. That is your condition. But the next thing we see, my dear friends, is her conceiving. He says here, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. That word conceive means to become pregnant. He says, you know what? You can't bear children. You're sterile. But here is the miraculous power of God. So you know what's going to happen? You are going to conceive, and that child will be born, and it will be a son. The Bible goes on to say, my friends, about her conduct. He says in verse number, verse 4, now therefore, beware. I want you to protect this thing. Keep it. Watch over this thing. I pray thee, and drink not what?
Wine.
Nor strong drink. And eat not any unclean thing. Now this was the conduct of mama. No wine. No strong drink. No unclean thing. What are you talking about, preacher? It's amazing how God said, I got a miracle for you. Not only a message, but I got a miracle for you. But here's the way I want you to behave. Here's how I want you to conduct yourself. A lot of times, my dear friends, God said, I got something for you, but now this is how I want you to behave. And sometimes we'll say, well, I can't help my, well, you don't get the blessing. It's almost like your children. You, when you go somewhere, when our kids are smaller and we go to somebody's house or we go to a church somewhere, I'm like, listen, you know, I want behavior. Don't we mess around, blah, 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 blah. And most days in front of me, that's how they behaved. Okay, because I know my kids, all right. But nonetheless, we'll tell our children, if you behave good, then we'll get something later. And then they be acting like the Tasmanian devil. And there was almost time to leave. Then they all started wanting to act good. And you were like, no. Because for the 90% of the time we've been here, you've been acting like a wild child. So guess what? You're not going to get something that you'd like to have. Oh, but I'm going to be good. Where the key? It's too late now. Listen, my dear friends. He tells her, this is how you're going to conduct yourself. He says, first of all, he says here in this verse, he says, and drink not wine. The word wine here is the word which also means fermented. The word wine throughout the Bible, is you equate the word wine, it's talking about not just fermented wine, but also in other verses talking about simply grape juice. That's what wine is, it's grapes off the vine. If you go and get a bunch of grapes right now and you squeeze them all together, you can drink that. You're not going to be sitting around and going, what's up? You're not going to be doing anything like that. But you let that thing sit around and ferment. And you know what that is too? Something called, like, what, bacteria? Mold. Who wants it? Nobody. Like, wah, 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 wah. But you know what? But that's because it's something that's unclean when you start to think about all that. But I'm going to get involved in all that. But still, he says no fermented wine. But then he goes something a little bit stronger. And he says something else. And drink not nor wine nor what? Strong drink. Strong drink. And this word here, strong drink, means intoxicating liquor. Now we're not just talking about wine. Said, liquor. What would be liquor? You ever heard something called malt liquor? You know somebody. Listen. That ain't just wine off the vine. Now we're talking about something, my dear friends, that really man has put together. Okay? And the Bible always talks about strong drink as something that you should never drink. And it's intoxicating. Somebody said, well, I don't get drunk. I ain't say drunk. It's intoxicating. What do you mean by intoxicating? Why would somebody drink? Well, because it relaxes me and calms my nerves. So what you're saying is it affects you. Well, it depends on what you mean by that, preacher. If you just want something to drink, you get your Coca-Cola. You get your glass of water, some orange juice. But it's because of how it affects me. And he says to her, you're about to get a major blessing. This is a big blessing here. And you don't need to have anything like that. He goes on to say anything unclean. He says, listen, don't touch yourself. But here's the reason why. He says in verse number 5, for lo, thou shalt conceive, thou shalt be pregnant, and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. We're now moving, my friends, from her conduct to her child's consecration. And that's why she was not supposed to do what he just told her not to do. For this child shall be a Nazarite unto God. From where? From the womb. That word Nazarite also means consecrated. It also means a devoted one. He says from the womb itself, this child will be a Nazarite. Because a Nazarite, and we'll talk more about that as we get into some of the other chapters here about the Nazarite vow and some of those other things. But that means that he is separated, he is consecrated, he's been dedicated for a use by God. And that's why I'm separating him to be used by God mightily. You know, my dear friends, sometimes God has to separate us from certain things because God wants to use us in a mighty way. What might be good for somebody else might not be good for us. Because God has certain purposes that he wants to do in our lives. You know, certain things, as a pastor, for example, we're all here saved tonight, then we're children of God. We've been blood bought and born again. But you know what? The Bible says something here. Let me show you something here. Hold your place here because we're coming right back. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, it says something about the office of a bishop. By the way, that is a biblical term. So somebody said, well, you know, this guy calling himself a bishop. That's a biblical term. It's a biblical term. Biblically, I am a bishop, you know, with the word of God teaches us. We just don't use that term. We use the term pastor. But look what the Bible says over here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I believe it is. Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says this. This is a true saying. Ain't lying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. But notice, there's certain conditions that are added on here. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. I mean, he tells us why. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, well, how shall he take care of the church of God? I mean, if you can't lead your own place, how you gonna? That's ludicrous. That's what the Bible says. But now notice, we're all Christians. But as a bishop, as a pastor, there's certain additions that have been applied to me. You follow what I'm saying? The same thing back over here with Samson, who will be born soon. He says right here, back in verse number 5, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. Now that done messed up a lot of independent Bible-believing Baptists. Because when it says no razor touch your head, that means that your head will get cut. Wow. Okay, we better probably go on. Anyhow, he goes on to say, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And then we see that he is to be hers and the other's conqueror. The Bible says, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand or the power of the Philistines. There's a special use for Samson. He's going to be dedicated to God. But before he can be dedicated to God, guess what, mama? You have to be dedicated to God too. Because you can't drink wine or strong drink or anything unclean. Because not only am I going to use your boy, but I want to use you first. Now, if she had said, I'm going to do my own thing, then probably Samson wouldn't be here. Or maybe would be here, but I'd be used by God. Or probably not be here, because guess what? This was a miraculous event that took place, because she, my dear friends, was barren. She was sterile. She could not have children. But God miraculously placed a child inside of her with conditions. What are you saying, preacher? This was a miraculous message from God. And when God gives us a message, we need to heed his message, follow his instructions, so we can receive the blessing that God wants to give to us. I wonder, has God given us a message? Has God spoken to you and said, you know what? This is what I have in store for you. This is what I want to do in your life. But you know what? I don't want you to do this, this, or that. Maybe in this case, it might not even be a sin, but might be something that God don't want you to do, because God wants to use you in a certain way. It's almost like we were talking the other day about those who are musicians. It's not like you wake up one morning and you're just a musician. You got to practice. It takes dedication. It takes, my dear friends, Billy was saying when he was between the ages of, 13 and 17 or something like that? I mean, all he did was play music. That's all he did. I mean, every free time, that's all he was doing. Well, guess what? When other kids were doing certain other things, that's what he was doing. But you know what? When you look at it now, look how it paid off. I mean, when Billy comes, when Billy goes somewhere, listen, he's a one-man band, one-man show. Listen, Billy can preach. He can play the piano. He can play the drums. He can play the guitar. He can sing. He can shout. He can do the whole thing. All you got to do is just sit back with popcorn and just check everything out. I mean, he can handle it all. But you know what? That didn't happen overnight. They happened overnight. Now somebody can look at him and say, you know what? Who do we think he is? Well, you know what? Maybe we could be used by God in a great way too. If we took some time to dedicate ourselves to certain things that God would have us to dedicate ourselves to, you know? I mean, when I look at Brother Craig Edwards, when he preaches, when Brother Craig Edwards preaches, man, I'd be like, hey, woo, why are you that was sitting right there all the time. And the Lord be like, yeah, you do like he can. You can sit somebody too. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't hoop and holler, Lord. No, my dear friends. Hey, guess what? The more time you spend in the Word studying, the more things that come out to you. They just come out to you. And then what happens is this. You'll receive, as a preacher, you'll receive a whole lot more than you give out. And that's what you have to tell young preachers when they get ready to preach, because they've been to study everything, Miss Sharon, and they want to give out everything they learned. You say, no, you can't do that. We'll be here all night. And then on top of that, you try to give out everything that you know, that you've read, studied, that you received, and it don't even line up to what you're even preaching about. I mean, and sometimes, that's just, let me give you guys a clue. When you think this guy's running rabbits and all this kind of stuff, no, it's stuff that he's learned, he's trying to give it to you, but you're like, yeah, but it ain't matching what he's talking about. But he's like, I got to tell you all this. Y'all be like, what are we talking about now? I'm confused. Amen. But that's why you give out what God would have you to give out, but you receive so much more in your studies. What are you saying, preacher? God has a message for us, and God knows how to get that message to us. I'm done. I got two questions. The first question is this. Has God given you a message from his word? Has God given you a message from his word? God uses the word. We talked about dreams a few weeks ago, but notice what I said. Even in the dreams, God's using his word. He uses his word. He's using a verse of scripture, something of that nature. Listen, what word has God given to you? What message has God given to you? And here's the second one, which I think is kind of the toughest. Are we following his instructions? Are we following his instructions? Brother Billy posted a few moments ago before church started. He said he asked his dad, he says, Dad, you got any advice to give to me? You know, for a person been married for 50 years, you know, and then what did Brother Leonard say? The way he looked and everything, what did he say? You want to have a good marriage for 50 years? He said, just keep your yapper shut. Be quiet. And I posted on Billy's comment. I said, laugh out loud. I said, Billy ain't going to make 50 years. Amen. So, But you know what? Follow the instructions that God gives us, and we'll receive the miracle. We'll receive the blessing that God wants to give to us. She has a choice that she's going to have to make. The question is she going to do what God would have her to do? Well, you kind of know the story a little bit, don't you? But there's some more details that's involved. The first question, has God given you a message from his word? Secondly, are we following his instructions? And lastly, simply a statement, let's ask God for a message and strength. Let's ask God for a message and strength to carry out those instructions. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Now I pray, God, that you'll give each of us a message from the word. Father, whether you speak to it in our hearts, or whether you speak to it to us through a song, or Lord, through the preaching of the word of God, or however you determine how you want to get us the message, I pray, God, that when you give it to us, I pray, God, we not only receive it, but follow your clear instructions and then receive the victory that we desire to have. Perhaps, God, you're speaking to somebody tonight about something. I don't know. It could be about anything. It could be about their home, their family, their job. It could be about a number of things. But I pray, God, that whatever you're saying to them, I pray, God, they respond and say, yes, yes, yes. Knowing that I want to receive that blessing, but I do want to follow your instructions. God, help us tonight, because what you give to us might bring deliverance to somebody else. You're going to give this lady who has no name, you're going to give this lady a son named Samson, and he is going to be the deliverer of many. I do pray and ask, God, that we would let you give us the blessing, the reward, by following instructions, so that blessing that you give to us can be a help to others. We love you. God, we need to come for any other reason. It doesn't matter. We just want to talk to you. Let's just come on. For it's in your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.